listening to New Layer, a design podcast with Tanner Christensen and Jasmine Friedel.
If you don't feel it now, you will feel it at some point in your career.
Oh no. What are we going to feel?
Burnout.
Oh,
it's a real thing.
So real.
And you know, I don't know if we talk about it enough, really. Like,
100% we don't.
There are a lot of articles about this online. There's been a number of books written on it. And yet I still feel like whenever it's encountered, I mean, for example, we have a lot of peers who are exceptional at what they do. They've been mm-hmm. designing or managing teams or running companies for many, many years. And yet they right now at this point in their career are also struggling from burning out.
Right.
So
what is burnout?
That's exactly what I was just going to start by talking to you about or asking you. Burnout to me is essentially, you know, it's a flame. If you think like your career is a flame, like lighting a candle or mm-hmm. lighting a match. And as you're burning up all this good fuel, that can be inspiration, that can be motivation, just anything that kind of energizes you, that fuels you. Eventually you're going to run out of that stuff, or you're going to be too hot. Well, you'll burn up too much of it too fast. Mm. And so then you kind of get extinguished. So that's like a real kind of metaphor.
Kind of like that. Cause it's like your energy, you exert energy in what you do. And especially as designers, there's a lot of like creative energy. There's a lot of problem solving energy. There's a lot of collaborative energy, and those sources, when they run out, it sort of does that. I like that. It extinguishes what you have to offer, and makes you feel a certain way. And I totally agree with you. I don't think we talk about burnout enough. I don't think we talk about things like mental health enough. But it's worth discussing.
Yeah, so I'm excited to dive in and hear your thoughts and share some of my own. So, I mean, let's start by just the big question. Have you ever felt burnt out?
Yeah, like right now? Uh-huh.
Right now you're feeling burnt out.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm in the same boat. I'm actually actively writing an article right now, mm-hmm. kind of being a little vulnerable with myself mm-hmm. and talking about just how bad my burnout has been. I think when people talk about burnout, when they do talk about it, it's usually just like, oh, you know, I'm experiencing burnout and next week I'll get over it. I feel like I've honestly been in burnout mode for probably the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. Like one of the first things you led with was, you know, lots of people in their careers who are doing really well, who are burned out. And it's like, there shouldn't be any assumptions that you have to be of a certain tenure to burn out. You can actually be starting your career and be burned out, because a lot of the sources, if we think about it as sources of energy, which I'm just going to go with it because it seems to work, that can be your school that burned you out. It can be, you know, the stress that finding the first job has burned you out. Like, you come in with all of these sort of internal to design and external to design factors that contribute to that. But it continues on once you invest more and more in your career, not at a varying degree of intensity. It's not to say one is like more intense than the other, whether you start out or whether you're further along. But it does, if it's something that's not addressed well, and I think that's something we should get into, then it can really be pretty prevalent across long, long periods of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine any student listening to this probably completely understands what it means to be burnt out.
Like, I'm having a little PTSD as we're talking about it, thinking of my student years, because that was some deep, dark times, and very, very burned out. And then you find things to sort of bring back your energy. When you think about being burned out and the things you're writing about, would you be willing to talk about your feelings? Like, what does it feel like?
That's exactly what I wanted to ask
you. I'm in your head.
So for me, the kind of things that, let me say this. So I have been feeling very burned out for the last 2 years, and mm-hmm. 2 years is kind of a vague timeline. I actually don't remember really when this all started. I just have like evidence that I have been burned out for at least 2 years. And for me, that evidence looks like, I'm trying to make sure that I'm being true to the article I'm writing as well. Really, it's a very strong lack of energy just to do anything. Like, getting out of bed in the morning becomes a burden. I look at things that I once really enjoyed, things like building apps, designing like end-to-end systems, workflows, collaborating with really strong partners. Like, that stuff just has become more of a chore than anything that feels energized to me. other feelings that come on just like a lack of motivation. Like, I just don't know why I'm doing the things I'm doing, even though I'm getting a lot of good, positive things, even though I feel like I'm growing and progressing in my career. I find myself often being like, well, why? Like, why am I even...
This is literally like career depression.
It really is. It can be. Yeah. So I don't think... This is just my symptoms. It might be very different for someone else. I think the underlining thing that I would say most represents burnout is just a kind of a lack of energy mm-hmm. in some way. Usually, and this is the way I would say you can recognize burnout, usually that lack of energy comes in a place that used to give you energy. Mm-hmm. So again, that's like...
What's an example of that?
Doing, I mean, anything. Like, if you are someone who really likes to socialize, for example, mm-hmm. and you love going to conferences or just local meetups and talking with new designers and things, and you suddenly start finding yourself saying, like, I don't really know if I can go out tonight because I'd much rather, like, sit on the couch. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you just can't try to find that motivation, that drive. I think that's one example.
Okay. Yeah. The things, when I think of my own experiences, it's like the things that used to bring me joy no longer bring me as much joy. And I'm a pretty analytical person, so I can usually logically get through about it, anything without joy. I can still go to work and I can still do a great job as a design leader, but it just doesn't have as much joy. And what that does is it affects me when I come home and then I'm just sort of tired and exhausted, and I'm not as able to find joy in the things around me. So the source of may still be the work, but then it does sort of affect things around me. The other thing I notice is that I tend to be able to lose focus. Something I pride myself on is, you know, being able to prioritize really well. And by prioritize, I mean, say, hey, here are the things I'm going to work on, and here are the things I'm also not going to work on. And when I get to a place of burnout, it takes so much energy to do that prioritization and just to, you know, give that clear focus to the things that are yeses. And it also takes a lot of energy to say no to the things. And I just sort of start finding myself meandering all over all of the things as opposed to doing the things that really, really matter.
Yeah. As you were saying that, it made me start to question, like, how do you differentiate between burnout and just like depression, or needing to like have the next phase of your career or your work or your life, right? And on that latter point, I started realizing, as you were speaking, that, like, I mean, that's kind of what burnout often is. It's not a sign that you should like fall back into your previous behaviors, but more of like a stopping point to evaluate, like, is this still working for me? Have I just like overwhelmed myself with too much of that stuff, or should I try something different?
Yeah. I think there's a, like, having positioning this as a mental health conversation is probably really important, and neither you nor I are formally equipped to advise in that. What I do, I think the thing that I want to say is that, you know, I think we should, as we go into this conversation, think about things like depression and anxiety and understand that they are real things that many of us operate with. And it's not to say that the things that you go through from burnout are disconnected from those things, although they can be. So when I think of, I'm sort of losing the question already as I wanted, I just kind of wanted to get that out there, but I sort of think.
That's a great point. So we just want to, underline that point as well. I've written about depression and things before. If you feel you might be depressed, please get help. Like, it's just go get professional help. We are not doctors. We are not really professionals in this area.
Right.
Find someone who can help you.
I think that's it. And I'm a big proponent for therapy when it feels right and it's necessary. And that's up to everybody to decide. I know, like, just to be like completely frank, like, I am plagued with depression and anxiety. It's not something we shouldn't feel uncomfortable talking about. And it does affect, you know, how I'm able to commit to my job. It also works in the inverse too, where I might be doing fine, you know, in a certain periods of my life, I might be very mentally healthy, and then things at work might fall apart. And that's a different form of burnout. So I think one of the most healthy things to do is identify the cause and figure out how to respond from that. What was the question
I think you're actually, you're walking right back to that question. Mm-hmm. So as a reminder, that question was, how do you differentiate between depression and burnout, or really like any other thing in burnout? Like, are you really burned out when you're being challenged, or is that just a challenge you need to step up for, right? So when we talk about the feelings of burnout, mm-hmm. and we mentioned a few of those for each of us, how do you personally say, you know, wow, I am burned out versus, ooh, this is a challenge, an obstacle I need to step up for, or I'm sad.
Yeah, of course. Because challenges, I mean, we all want to be challenged. We want to be, I mean, I hope we all want to be challenged. We want to grow. We want to like get better in our careers, and challenge is a part of that. I think the things I tend to look for is, you know, is this persistent through all of my life? Is it just a work thing, or is it something that's leaking over, or is it something that's pretty even in all areas of my life? Is it something that is, a persistent over time feeling? So when I look at, you know, is it just, you know, a week here? I feel, man, last week was really hard. It really burned me out. I need to recover. Or is it like, hey, I've actually been feeling this way for about 6 months. And then I think another part is like, do my recovery tactics tend to work? And so for me, you know, a recovery tactic for just work burnout might be something like, I actually just need to disconnect over a weekend. And then I can go back in and I can go energized. I can go back in energized and jump at my role again. So those are a couple of things that I sort of look at when I'm looking at, you know, hey, is this something that I can manage through my role or through my team or through, you know, can I bring in support at work to help manage the work part? Or is this something that I need to help manage through more of my like, you know, my cognitive processes, how I think about things, how I react to things. And then that's the things that I might do in both of those different scenarios could be quite different.
I like the way you put that. Like if you're unsure of what you're experiencing, one of the best things you can always do, I think, is just take a step back and, you know, take time away from the work, from that environment, from those people, from the problems, whether it's a day, a weekend, a week, or something longer. And that will help give you kind of a little bit better perspective. And then on top of that, like you said, when you come back to the work, do you feel that it still energizes you? Is it still a source of fuel, right?
Right. And I think, you know, vacation or weekends or, you know, turning off Slack at night are all really good habits. I think there's something, you know, burnout can really incrementally sneak up on you. So even if you're taking those things on a regular basis, it doesn't mean that you're making yourself immune to it. It means you're just like maybe just preventing it from happening. So I think, you know, when I think about the things that I do to say, hey, am I burned out? It's sort of like, you know, is there a checklist of things that you need to go through yourself frequently? Like, hey, how am I feeling about work? How am I feeling about my relationships at home? How am I feeling about life? How am I feeling about my time away? And to do that consistently, to be able to say, actually, this actually feels like it's been getting worse over the past 6 months. Or, you know, hey, I feel really great and feel like better when I get back from vacation. And so taking regular vacation or whatever that is.
Yeah, totally. So you kind of touched on this a little bit a second ago, and it's been on my mind, but I'd like to dive in further. When it comes to burnout, what is the role of someone like a coach or a mentor or a manager or even a friend in that situation? Like for you personally, in your career, when you've ever experienced burnout, have you ever found help, or not necessarily help, but like something to help define that burnout or your need or how you might remedy it? Have you ever found that in another person? Let me make the question more explicit, actually. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to like a leader or a manager and said, I'm burned out, and expected them to help you in some way? Have you ever done that?
Probably when it's past a point when I should have gone to them. I think, you know, it's hard because going to somebody and saying I'm burned out feels like it's weakness. Especially if you're going to someone for help. And it's a lot of reason that people don't go to therapy, for mental health issues too. It's like, you don't want to admit weakness. It's like, I can do this job. I don't want to take time off. I don't want to miss anything. Like, I'm strong. I can get through this. And because it does have cumulative effects, you do want to really address it. I think the way I've learned best from mentors and bosses and, you know, people I admire is following their good habits. And I'll give an example. When I was accepting my offer with Intercom, I had a conversation with Karen Peacock, who's our COO. And she, you know, I was asking her, I don't know how we got on this, but I was asking her about our unlimited vacation policy. And for those of you who have unlimited vacation or who are curious about it, you literally can take off as much time as you need in a year. And there's two ways this goes. It either goes, you know, really well, where people tend to take maybe what might be considered excessive vacation, or people don't take enough. And most of the time it's people don't take enough.
I was going to say, it's a trend that usually people with unlimited vacation don't take any.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there's judgments on whether that's, you know, oh, the company is trying to, you know, guilt you into not taking any vacation, and then they don't have to pay you out when you quit. But really, you know, for the people who know how to take care of it well, or how to use it well, it's really a great policy, because everybody needs a different amount of time off. In fact, there was there's a senior engineering director at our company that has a target. He's like, I need to take off 30 days every year. And someone asked me, what's your target? And I was like, I don't know. I've never actually thought about, hey, what do I need? But back to the conversation with Karen, you know, I said, how do you handle it, or something like that? And she said, you know, what I would recommend is, you know, imagine your year, imagine how you want it to go. Imagine when you want to take your breaks, what kind of vacations do you want to take, and schedule those now. And so for the first 6 months, I did, and I scheduled, I think, 4 weeks off, which to me is like a ridiculous amount of vacation time. And it was for my 40th birthday. It was, you know, a lot of things that wouldn't be sort of recurring annually, but I scheduled them in advance, and they came up at every time where I thought I was going to need a break. And, you know, I wouldn't have had the wherewithal to plan that the week before, but because I had done it, you know, 6 months in advance, a couple months in advance, those were ready to go. On the flip side, this half, I haven't done that, and I've definitely hit burnout sooner because I haven't been able to follow that same model. So that's a good example of someone who's not only does this and leads by example, and I can follow her, but has sort of given me advice on how to do that. The other side is when I wait too long. I've definitely gone to managers, and I can't think of an example, but knowing me, it probably goes something like, I end up bursting into tears in a one-on-one because I'm just so tired and I just am not enjoying myself anymore. And I'm getting, you know, what I think some people call the Sunday scaries, which is the Sunday before you have to go back to work on a Monday after the weekend, you just like start to dread going into work. So I never want to get to that point where I just like hate my job and make bad career decisions because I just can't do it anymore. I want to be balanced, and I want to be able to take care of myself and my personal needs and my mental health in order to be able to give back appropriately to my team and to my company.
It feels to me like whether you're a manager or you're a designer, individual contributor, including burnout as a question in your regular one-on-ones, whether that's weekly or biweekly, might be worthwhile. Like,
yeah.
I know often managers will ask, you know, how are you doing, in a very general, broad kind of way. But it might be beneficial to just explicitly say, you know, are you feeling burned out? Let's look at the core things that you're doing. Are they still energizing you? Are they still motivating you? Or do we need to like take a look at these things and say, let's give you a break, or let's reevaluate?
Yeah. And I have, in most of my one-on-ones as a standing topic, I just have a pulse check. And I think you can interpret that in many ways, but I could easily see just a, how are you feeling? And once you've built trust and can actually say that and get a genuine conversation going, that's a really valuable thing to bring up. Something I ask my teammates or the people around me quite often is actually, when was the last time you took vacation? Because you'd be surprised how many people just don't. And it's partially because some people don't need as much, but some of it is guilt. And I think one great example of this is, you know, people who have just started a job in your first year, it's really hard to ask for what you need because A, you're excited, and B, you don't want to let people down. And so planning the time off that you need, even like, say, for example, what if you're only 3 months into a new job? Is it okay to take a break? You're probably halfway through your onboarding at that point, but it's important to set those good habits for yourself in advance. And I'm just talking about time off because that's the easiest one to talk about, but that's, time off is just one strategy to prevent burnout.
Yeah. But I think there's something here that we can like double down on a little bit. So when I think about the role that other people, whether they're managers or peers, the role that they play in helping someone cope or manage burnout, I think that they offer something that this vacation, this distance also offers. Mm. And what I mean by that is perspective. Mm-hmm. So often when you're burned out, usually what you're experiencing again is like, you've kind of gotten too much fuel. You burned it up too quickly. And now you're just like, you need to take a break from it. Really. You need to step away. sometimes that's space, that's physical. Like, I need to get away from this work. I need to get away from my computer. I need to leave the office. Sometimes it's just mental space, meaning I need to like not think about this problem in this way. I need to just broaden my perspective of this thing, right? And maybe you can find other energy sources that way. And I think that is a role that other people can play. So me, for example, I mean, you know this, with my burnout recently, I've really felt kind of directionless in my career. Thankfully, I've had some great friends, former mentors who I could go to and have a conversation with. And these conversations are never like, well, what are your career ambitions and how can we help you get those? And like, how can we get you back in the work floor? No, the conversations are very much just, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the world? What are people saying? And how can we maybe give you some mental distance from these things that you've been experiencing? And I found that very helpful.
Yeah, that's really good. Something else that made me think of is like, you know, when you're talking about space, some of it is career trajectory. You know, if you're not moving very quickly, if you're not getting promoted, like you put so much energy, many of us put so much energy into making sure that we're growing, we're developing, that we're, you know, getting those promotions, that we're getting on those big projects. Because, you know, we value our growth and we value the achievements that we have, and those are all good things. But there is something to people who go through those levels really, really fast and take on the toughest projects that, you know, take everything from you. And all of a sudden, you know, 3-4 years in your career, you're like, holy crap, I'm just really tired. And there's something to having, you know, guides through your career who give you that space to say, hey, you don't have to go a million miles an hour all the time. And I'm thinking, I'm just gonna share an example, another example from work, but I'm thinking we have this senior researcher who's amazing. And she's developed all of these personas that actually didn't exist before from really deep data understanding and user research. And she went all in on that for months and was just so tired. And then she was able to step back and like just kind of lighten her workload a little bit. And the difference between how she's feeling is just night and day. And I think about that, like that's sort of like over a span of a couple of months, but think over the span of a couple of years, like to have a manager say to you, hey, it's okay. You don't have to get like greatly exceeds requirements on every single review. Like that is actually could be a path to burnout if, you know, how you're suited does not handle that sort of pace very well. It's okay to actually say, hey, just shoot for meets this one. Like just be average. Like that's okay. And it also reminds me of Kim Scott's book, Radical Candor. She talks about superstars and rock stars, and the way she defines them, like superstars are these people that just have these really strong trajectories and they're always going upwards. And rock stars are these people who are sort of just steady and they're strong, but they're slower. And they're just two different approaches and usually two different sort of style preferences for how people grow in their career. And so if you find yourself in the situation where it's, you know, that sort of space that you need to create, like having people in your life that can support that is important too.
Wow. I have so many thoughts to follow up on.
Okay, go.
I'm trying to think about where to start. Probably the most important thing that I took away from what you said and how I'm relating to that is, really identifying what kind of person you are and what you value. Because what happens usually, at least for me and what I've observed, when you're burned out, like really all you want to do is anything but the stuff you've been doing. And even if that stuff really, again, used to give you energy and motivate you and inspire you, you just want to get away from it. And I think the example you just gave was like, at the end of the day, during a really hard week, all you want to do is sit on the couch. Like, just get me away from
that
all
might
that
be
stuff.
Just us, Tanner.
And so I think what that makes me kind of reflect on in what I'm writing about right now and how I'm dealing with this personally is as I experience this burnout, I have to kind of step back and remind myself and really kind of take some time to think about who am I? Like in the deepest sense, who am I? And that's a conversation like you don't have to have with anyone. It's just like for you to sit down and really think about what do I value? What do I want to get out of this experience called life? And what do I want to contribute to my career? And I think that when you do that, you start to be able to kind of give yourself a different lens to think about the things that have caused you to be burned out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something that I reflect on often is a quote from the former writer/podcast guru, whatever, Merlin Mann, who once said, "We procrastinate when we've forgotten who we are." And I think there's something there related to burnout where it's like, all you want to do is get away from everything else. You want to procrastinate. You want to put this stuff off. But when you kind of remind yourself, why are you doing that stuff in the first place? The burnout has a little bit of a different.
Yeah. This is like what I was thinking. I think that relates to what I was talking about earlier about focus, like how I lose my focus and then start just doing all of these other things. But I guess I hadn't really thought of it as an identity thing or a self-awareness thing. That's really interesting.
And it goes back to what you were saying around like, are you someone who can actually excel in a very intense, environment where you just constantly have to be turned on? Or are you someone who can like last a long haul, but in small increments?
Yeah. And now I'm thinking, this is really interesting. Now I'm thinking about like, hey, so why do designers burn out? And I was talking to another design leader at Amplitude's Amplify conference today, and we were talking about sort of, you know, being the one leader sometimes in the room who needs to stand up for people. Saying, you know, the line that she gave me was, you know, she just has to keep sometimes standing up in meetings and saying, hey, that's not how people work. We're making this product decision or we're making this decision around our teams, and people are going to react in a different way to this than you're anticipating that they will. And I often find myself standing up for people, particularly my teammates, to make sure they're feeling engaged and supported and challenged and all of the things that people need to have great careers. And what she called out was that, you know, designers are such great empaths. It's part of one of the things we really value when we think about user-centered design, is that we actually go in and we're, you know, user advocates. And, you know, we could have a whole conversation on whether that's 100% what designers should be. But there is something to where we are trained and taught and practice representing people. And I think we're just, you know, stereotypically or generally pretty good at doing that for each other too. And designers are, you know, again, I'm not like bucketing anyone in who they are, but designers tend to be able to understand feelings pretty well or have feelings. And so I think what we were talking about today, and I haven't processed this entirely, but I do think there's some truth to it, is that, you know, as designers, there is a lot of weight that comes with that. And so when there's a lot of people weight, in addition to say product weight, and so people weight, I just like, particularly I'm thinking about like taking care of my team. In addition to that, there's like making sure your product is successful. And then there's making sure that your business is making money and making sure that, you know, that your customers are happy and your end users are happy, or whatever all those pieces of the equation are. But really there's sort of an added ownership that we often take on ourselves as designers. The other thing that comes to mind is, we're generally pretty good problem solvers.
I was going to say problem solving.
Yeah.
Especially for product designers, like you have to be excellent at problem solving.
Yep. And there's problem solving. And I think something else that comes to mind is, you know, the product designer role, it touches on a lot of other roles. We do, you know, we work directly with engineers and we care about output and we care about quality. We work directly with PMs, product managers, because we care about like the problems we're trying to solve. And our role, I think, you know, as we look at sort of the evolution of the product designer over the years, there's a lot of overlap with other disciplines. And so that, you know, affects how we problem solve, how we let other people problem solve. But there's also a lot of like contribution and collaboration that happens when you're in these sort of roles. You're not just, you know, at your desk typing away, you know, in a silo delivering your final file to, you know, a dev team that's just going to take it. And, you know, there's just so many pieces of our roles that are really cognitively heavy and that require a lot of people skills. And I think those are the things that maybe we don't, I mean, of course we talk about collaboration as a skill that you need to have, but I think we don't really talk about the weight that some of those things can bring, especially if that's not your natural skill set.
Absolutely. Something that I'm thinking of now is everything you just outlined is completely true. Like product designers are excellent communicators, collaborators. They have empathy for their user base. And usually that user base is very broad and diverse. So it's not just like one type of user. You also need to put yourself in the framework or the way of thinking of many different types of users, right? Including edge cases. And now you're going in through research and then you have these product specs. So there's a lot going on. And I think that, you know, just doing all of that stuff reasonably well is taxing mentally, but also what you usually encounter on the job is you have to kind of switch between those very rapidly, very often. Mm-hmm. So it's not only are you, you know, empathizing and going through research, then coming up with proposals and ideas and working with a product owner, you're also like switching between those things within any like 30 minutes to an hour. So you're just constantly, you just never have time to stop and think for yourself about yourself and how you're doing and how you're progressing, right?
I think that's, I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. And then part of me is like, and doesn't everybody in tech feel like that?
Perhaps, yes. I don't think this is an exclusive product design thing at all. I just think that, you know, you and I, at least we have that perspective, that framework.
But I don't know any of our peers that actually haven't felt this way at some, or felt burnout at some point due to these things.
Yeah. Like even at the, again, going back to what we talked about at the beginning of this episode, we know people who are VPs at massive companies. You know, they've done very well for themselves. They have reputable, like, work out there, their names are known, and yet in private we can talk to them and they're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel completely burned out. I need to stop. I feel like I can't stop. There's a lot of responsibility. Yeah.
And there's something really that we can be explicit about, that especially if you're getting into a job in tech, there is a really high bar for commitment. There's a high bar for commitment of your time. There's a high bar for commitment of your output. There's a high bar for, you know, your commitment of your tenure too. And there are times where I look around and just say, wow, we just have to acknowledge that this is not normal. And there's also a lot of great payoffs. I mean, when you think of the kinds of things that we do, we are solving some really interesting problems. You and I both have worked for companies with really respectable missions. There's change in the world that's happening through technology. Like, that's super exciting. There's also like great financial compensation for the sort of investment that, you know, people in our kinds of roles are able to put in. And that's amazing. And then there are some breaking points though, where you have to say, you know, for my own mental stability, for my happiness, you know, how am I preventing this? And then B, how do I know when too much is too much? Because in this industry, it is very, very easy to get caught up in it all and not take care of yourself.
I want to dive into this a little bit. So I completely agree with everything you said. Again, something that I think many people might encounter is trying to trade off certain things at the cost of potential burnout. So for example, maybe there's a job coming up for you and it's at a startup hypothetically or something. It's a fast-paced environment. You know, there will be a lot asked of you. And yet maybe you're someone who thrives in a little bit slower environments, you know, a little more long-term vision kind of environments. But you might say, you know, this is a cool opportunity and the pay is really well. So I'm going to go work as hard as I can, harder than I've ever worked in my life in order to get this good paycheck. That could end up hurting you long term, right? So I don't think everything good that you just described about our careers and our opportunities, those are all very true. Mm-hmm. I think every individual kind of needs to evaluate those and say, is this going to hurt me long term or short term? Am I going to be so burned out that I can't continue this on for five to 10 years?
Well, and you actually won't know until you're in it. And that's the tricky part. And so the things that I try and do are set as many boundaries as possible. And one example is, you know, for where I'm working right now, I could be putting in 12 hours a day if I wanted to. And what I've had to do is say, I am only going to work between the hours of 8 and 4. Well, that's not true. I'll be at work between the hours, and actually it's 7:45 and 4, but it's a little over 8 hours. That's not a lot. I mean, that's like kind of on the lower end of what most people are working as product designers or product design leaders. There's sort of a caveat to that though, in that I have a 3-hour commute. And so I'm often working on that too. So it can max out at about 11 a day. And then that's on the higher side of it. But I have to put that in place, because if I don't leave the office by 4 every day, it will get out of control. And I know that. And I've tried to work with habits like deleting Slack off my phone or deleting Gmail off my phone, just to put my guardrails in place. And then there's another sort of take on that, which is like, hey, when you start a role where you're unsure of whether things are going to go well or not, like where are you setting up time frames to say, hey, I'm going to check in with myself at 6 months to evaluate how this is going, whether or not it's good. I'm going to go through to a full year, but I'm going to sort of like document that so I can have a data point. And then at the end of the year, when I reach like my vesting cliff, or, you know, just the year that I committed to myself, am I going to actually start looking? And then there's also, you know, there's times I've said I'm going to stay 4 years somewhere, and needed to leave after one. And so are you being kind to yourself and being honest with yourself about when things aren't working, what are the options that you're going to give yourself?
I love how you put that. Like, really, it comes down to being honest with yourself.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, which is knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like the old Socrates saying, right? Know thyself. And I think I did a talk on self-awareness a while back, but there's something when I was studying self-awareness and knowing thyself, there was a really key component of that, in that you may only know yourself so well, and you need other people to be able to help you evaluate yourself. And that was in the context of skills, like design skills. But here I think about it as, you know, and you and I do this a lot, but it's like when you are burned out, depending on how you handle that, you may rationalize in a different way than you normally would. You may sort of tell the story to yourself in a different way than it's actually affecting you. So having someone else in your life, and, you know, because we're partners in life, we can do this for each other sometimes better than others, but to say, you know, hey, you're kind of off your game, or I think the source of your burnout or your, you know, if it is depression or whatever, is coming from your job, or maybe you have a therapist that can help you through that. So making sure that you're being as honest with yourself as possible, but having people in your life who are there to be able to check in with you. And maybe if you're, you know, fortunate, you've got a boss who does that for you too.
I've felt this myself just recently, even mm-hmm. where, you know, for the last more than 10 years, I wrote daily, whether it was on a public blog or in a personal journal. And just like the last little while, I've really just stopped doing that. And I couldn't figure out why. And it took me talking to a personal coach, a career coach, to realize that I wasn't doing things like writing and meditation, not because I was burned out with those, but because I was burned out in some other area of my life that was impacting that stuff. And for me, what that looked like was I was investing so much in my career that I misled myself into believing that I didn't have time for all these other things. And yet these other things are often the things that can like give additional fuel to my career work, right? So I was burning out and then continuing to try to run on fuel that I didn't have. And that was just impacting every part of my life. And this makes me also think about, you know, having things like side hobbies and interests can really help a lot, especially if you're devoted to those things. I mean, I'm not saying like writing, I'm saying like sports, like activities outside the home, meeting up with friends once a week, for example. Like, these kind of things can help ground you and ensure that you're avoiding burnout, I think.
Yeah. And I'm thinking there's something that I've experienced recently, and almost a year ago when I left my last role, I had about 6 weeks off, and I thought I was going to be do all these side projects and get a lot of energy from it and do all the things that I never do. And I actually just sort of felt lost and alone. And I just took a week off last week, and I ended up, you know, it was a good week off. I definitely felt like I needed some time to recover, and I was a lot more energized by the things that I do, but I also felt a little sort of lost. And there's something to purpose in life. And I've spent so much of the past decade crafting this career, and my job has a lot to do with my identity. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it can have negative implications or repercussions on my life at times. But I actually, in both of the circumstances, found when I started to get back into work, I started to feel a lot better. And so the source wasn't necessarily, you know, the source for me, at least right now or in these circumstances, isn't the job itself. It's some of the things that I have to deal with within the job. And it might be just having too much on my plate, or it might be, and I'm just making up things here, but it might be being in the kinds of activities that I don't like being in. So for example, if you're in meetings all the time and you actually get your energy from somewhere else. But I think for me, it was important to go and say, and be kind to myself and say, hey, it's okay if your identity is wrapped up in work. It's okay if you actually, if work both gives you energy and makes you feel burned out, because I'm not somebody who the side projects give me energy. They tend to drain me. And we've talked about this before. You and I are kind of different in that way. But to really start to get in and say, you know, with some experimentation too, and say like, on this day I did X, and this gave me energy, and to figure out what habits you need to commit to.
It really just goes back to building that self-awareness, right? I think that's a key part there. So we've covered a lot. Just kind of quickly touching back on a few points here on how to really try to avoid burnout, setting clear boundaries for yourself. That's a really important one. We should probably do more often.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the thing that you're probably going here next, but you do have to know yourself in order to set the boundaries. And so that's just a quick, like, I forget what the exercise was. If it was like a strength finder or something like this, where you just basically, record the things that bring you joy in your day to day, and record the things that you sort of hate doing or the things that drain you. And I think like the things that you hate or don't enjoy doing and the things that drain you might actually be, they're not always the same thing. Things that drain you might actually be things that you enjoy. So looking through those three buckets and saying, hey, these are the kinds of activities. Cause there are some sort of like fundamental things within yourself. Like, you know, I get energy from talking to people, but you have to apply that in a work context to know if the things that you do at work are going to drive you towards burnout. So like knowing yourself and then saying, okay, if these are the things that drain me and these are the things that I hate, maybe there's some combination of those two lists, then how do I put those guardrails in place around those? Because guardrails, just for the sake of guardrails, aren't going to prevent your specific triggers to burn out.
And I think we also identified that there might be people in your life who can help you with this as well, right? With helping you kind of explore your own thoughts and interests and quote unquote identity and your boundaries. People like hopefully a good manager, but not always a manager. I don't know if it's necessarily their job, but maybe it could be part of that. Just good friends, good mentors. Like these people can also help you identify these things about yourself. Other things we talked about in order to kind of avoid burnout, things like just getting away, whether that's mental clarity or physical, you know, removing yourself. Make sure if you have vacation at your company, please take it. Like
take it.
Like Jasmine said earlier, schedule it now. So by the time it comes and you really need it, it's there for you.
Yeah. And I like, especially if you're a leader too, like setting that example by taking vacation, that's something I do. And I actually, when I took this last week off, I wrote a note to the design team that just said, hey, I'm taking a week off and here's why. I'm getting close to burnout and I need to take care of myself. And B, I'm doing this so that you can see that I want you to do this too. And it's encouraged. The other thing of taking time that, is a compliment is making space. You had mentioned sort of making space for other perspectives. Maybe it's making space just to understand what pace is right for you and experiment with that.
So we talked about a lot. There's obviously so much more we could talk about.
I have one more thing on my head. The other thing is, you know, just because this is so closely linked to mental health conversations, I hope and I wish that we can talk about this more. And it's one of the reasons we just wanted to have this conversation was, it's okay. It's okay to be burned out. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be really frustrated with your job and need to step away and evaluate. And like any sort of mental health conversation, I think if there's anything that we can do is just start to normalize those conversations, even if it's just having a one-on-one with your boss, or if it's, you know, going to your favorite Facebook group or, you know, Twitter thread or whatever and contributing to that conversation, because it really happens to everybody. And there are pretty severe consequences if it's something that gets out of hand. And we want everybody to take care of themselves and be happy and healthy and love their jobs.
To that end, we'd love to carry this conversation on with you. If you're listening, please reach out to us on Twitter. We'll leave our handles in the show notes, but if you don't have them, I'm at Tanner C.
I'm at Jazzy 33CA for California.
You can mention us or DM us and let's carry this conversation on about burnout because it's an important one.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Until next time.
Okay.